glory to Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In this morning's parable, we hear a story about a man, as most of them go. And as we see, sometimes in our church's tradition, we take these parables and we extend them to a much more real kind of level. So as for instance, when we hear of the prodigal son, we hear it in the prayers. The prodigal son spoken of as a real person. And when we hear of the publican and the Pharisee, you know, these things are spoken of as stories, but then they're given to us in prayer as very real kinds of people to contemplate. And I think that this rich man today does a very good job, perhaps, for us of giving us the opportunity to do just that, to think about this man, to think about what his life may have been like, to think about what might have gone on for him during that day when he was thinking these thoughts about how good he had it, about how everything of his needs were satisfied, about how he was in such good shape. Everything was fine. He probably has a wife, maybe even a few wives. He probably had some encounters with them in the morning, maybe some nice words. He probably saw his kids that day. He was probably able to ask them how life's going, to make sure that they were getting their studying done with their tutor or whoever it was that was doing them their teaching. He may have checked up on a brother or sister that day. He may have gone to the marketplace, done some business, whatever it was that he did. It sounds like he might have been involved somehow in farming. And he took care of all these things and may have done a very faithful job of doing those things, which is how he came to be a man who could say, you know, soul, all your needs are taken care of. Eat, drink, and be merry. And then we see something that he did not anticipate. We see something that he did not contemplate, that he did not plan for. And it is the end of his life. And if there's one thing that's certain for each and every one of us, it is that we will, at some point, reach the end of our lives. We know that this is an absolute. It is something that cannot be avoided. It is inevitable. It is also very unpredictable. I can look out and see some of you who are here today who 20 years ago would never have imagined that death would have become a part of their lives, your lives, as it has. Yesterday I was at a very, let's say, one of those normal kinds of things. The kind of lives we dream of, where we get to live to be 90 years old, in relative good health, with people around us who love us and take care of us. And then we get to have a nice funeral where people show up and everybody loves each other and they're talking to each other and they're happy to be there. That's the ideal we may have in our minds. But most of us know that the unpredictability of this all says some very different things about that. I'm reading a book that I've recommended to some of you called The Untethered Soul. Until the last chapter, it's really good. The last chapter, he should have written another book instead of trying to pack everything that he throws in there because it brings up a lot of questions. But there's a chapter in this book, The Untethered Soul, that deals with death. And he does. I listened to it about probably 10 times, that chapter. It's about 17 minutes on the book program that I listened to. And maybe even more than that on the way home. Very good stuff. Stuff to pay attention to. Because, you know, you might think that you hear me speak a lot about remembering death, about being cognizant of the fact that someday I am going to die, and so will you. But, you know, even as much as I may bring up the topic, what I notice as I listen to this is that I don't really think about it very much. I don't really pay much attention to it. I don't really meditate on it. I don't think deeply about it. Because usually, even when I'm in conversations with people about it, we really don't want to go there. And the degree to which, even if we are willing to notice that we're not fearful, perhaps, when we go to the funeral home, it still doesn't say much about our relationship to The one thing that every single one of us human beings will absolutely, no doubt about it, encounter, and in fact are encountering right now in one way, shape, in some way, shape, or form, which is the reality of our death. So how odd it is that this thing that is so absolutely true about us is the thing that we will look at the least. And the things that are no doubt passing, we think about and look at the most. From our funeral service: what earthly sweetness remains unmixed with grief? What glory stands immutable on earth? All things are but feeble shadows. All things are most deluding dreams. Yet one moment only, and death shall supplant them all. And again, woe is me! What manner of ordeal does the soul endure when it is parted from the body? Woe is me! How many then are its tears, and there is none to show compassion? And a little bit later, all mortal things are vanity and exist not after death. Riches, as we heard this morning, endure not, neither doth glory accompany on the way. For when death comes, all these things vanish utterly. The man in the story discovered that. Nothing of what he had, of what he had put into his barns, of what he was planning and intending for the future was going to last. And if we look even for a moment with a little bit more courage and a little bit more attention and consciousness, we too would admit the exact same thing. And none of us knows how and when, truly, we will meet that moment. I took a ride to New Jersey over the last couple of days. 350 miles out, 350 miles back. I've done it lots of times. I drive and come back on the assumption that I'm going to return. Well, you know, it's pretty dangerous out there. There's lots of stuff that can happen to a car. There are many people who do wrong things. There are trees that fall. There are things that fall out of the sky. We've heard all the stories. And I went and I ate at a repast after the funeral. And we've all heard stories about somebody who eats something, salmonella, whatever it is, and it kills them. And then we know about things like music playing too loud that causes somebody to pull out a gun and shoot their neighbors. And we see these things all around us, and yet how unwilling we are to take these things to heart and do something with them. Because as the church would tell us, while death is the last enemy and Christ has conquered death, nonetheless, he's also given death to us as a true, real friend. Because death does not lie to us. Death does not deceive us. Death does not trick us, does not pat us on the back, does not tell us anything of a lie about what these lives that we try and figure out what they're all about, what it's about. Death does not lie. It says, you will die someday. What are you going to do about it? It asks that question. So this morning, I found myself doing something a little bit different because I was going to ask all of you the question, what if this were the last Advent, the last Nativity fast that you were going to participate in? How would it be different? But then as church was going on, it kind of narrowed down to, well, what if this was of the last month? And then it narrowed down to, what if this might be my last week? How would I be different? How would I live? But you know what? It got even narrower and more focused than that. And as I was standing here in church this morning and praying, I'm thinking to myself, what if this would be the last Lord have mercy that I would get to say? Because a meteor might be falling out of the sky, or something congenital in my heart may be ready to end my existence on the planet right now. What if this sermon is the very last sermon that I will get to speak to you? Maybe even the 10th word that will come from my mouth, the last word. What if the last time that I did a metanya toward the altar, what if that would be the very last one that I would do? And you know what? This morning has really, as new things are, I don't know that I can find myself in this space in my heart again, But when I did that Netanya with the thought, might this be my last one, Lord? I did it very well. I did it very consciously. And I thought, well, when I'm blessing myself, what if this is going to be the very last time I bless myself? Would I just slop it around? Probably not. I would want it to be done very well. And what if the next time, if I get to talk with some of you after church, or even as you come to the cross, what if as you come to the cross and I say, Christ is in our midst, what if it will be the last time I will say that to you? How would I want that to be? How conscious and aware would I want to be about that being the case? When I receive from the altar boys the censer handed off to me, what if it might be the very last time that one of these altar boys hands me that censer? Because they might die or I might die. And you know, when I do that, the thing that kind of surprised me a little, even when I think about my own sloth and procrastination as something that troubles me and kind of haunts me all the time. You know why I procrastinate? Because I truly do think I have another chance. That I will have tomorrow to get it done. That if I haven't returned your phone call yet, you'll still be alive and I'll still be alive. Sometimes years I've pushed it. And most of the time, you have been. And most of the time, well, I guess all of the time, so have I, since I'm still standing here at this moment. But yeah, you know, if I could get that the last thing I look at on the hundreds of things that I have on the to-do list on my little smartphone, that today might be the last time I get to look at that one, about that person, then just maybe the whole quality of this life will be transformed for me. Now, it comes up that runs into conflict with something, though. Because when we look at living our lives, and when we look at a shortness of time, we get distracted. And the devil will put into our mind something as popular as the bucket list. As though there has to be some special things. There has to be some places to go. There has to be some things to see or to acquire. But you know what? That is absolutely not true at all. Because when I have one glimpse, one moment, one instant of getting the certainty of my departure from this world and the possibility that it could come in the next few seconds, the moment I do that, everything becomes more alive. The colors in the church, the fact that I might be looking at St. Ephrosinos the cook for the last time in my life, all of a sudden, he's way more alive than I might have even talked to you about him being for us, really real right here. And if it will be that as I turn around and move this podium over, that it'll be the last time that I drag this podium, what a wonderful thing to have been able to lay my hands on this chunk of wood and roll it back and forth for 25 years. So every moment in the light of the termination of my life, which eventually will come with absolute certainty, everything truly does get lit on fire like the stars. That everything becomes sacred when I know this might be that last time. And in some ways, we can see why the saints anticipated and longed for that moment. Because for one, they were living there all the time. And they were already seeing that which they would encounter, Christ their God, as they would step over into that next world. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe some of the things that I've described are just how you feel as you've lived your life over the years. My sense is that it's probably not, that you're probably more like me, that you're probably more a person who kind of depends on there being a tomorrow. But how much do I get cheated out of when I live that way? How much do I miss? How much do I not pay attention to because I think I'll have another opportunity? Well, you know, our prayer as Christians is always that we be able to appreciate and love each other, to be thankful. This is a month of Thanksgiving for us Americans. And the way that comes about is not by just looking and making some sort of list, and by imagining some things and trying hard to be grateful. No, it comes way more simply and yet in some ways may way more scarily to us by simply entering into the truth about me, and that is that I am dying, and maybe very soon. Now, yes, I'll pray, we do. God grant us many years. We pray all the time. But we also pray for a Christian ending to our life, painless, blameless, and peaceful. And there will be nothing that will make the Christian ending to my life more painless, blameless, and peaceful than my remembering, unlike the man we heard about in today's parable, that someday I will die. So, God bless all of you to think more deeply about this simple and ultimate and absolute reality. It really is the only thought that makes a difference or that matters in our lives truly. Think about that. Again, if you can find some other thought that is more useful to you here and in eternity, let me know, and next week's sermon can be about that one. But at least for this week, I would suggest that you spend some time thinking about that and noticing if the things you are doing, if it were the last time that you would be doing that, how would it be transformed? How would it be different? How would it be important and alive, no matter what it is? And as we enter into that kind of thinking, may God bless us with the kind of miraculous insight that only He can give us, but that we are most naturally created for and attuned to when we simply start to pay attention to what really is real and what really matters. Amen.